This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Aisling Geary joins me now on iRadio's group chat to help us try and debunk some nutrition myths that are going around. She's a dietitian and she's always sharing loads of advice on her TikTok. So welcome to iRadio's group chat, Aisling. Delighted to have you. I mean, I think that I can't be the only one that thinks that nutrition advice online can feel a bit overwhelming. What made you want to put your own voice out there and have your own narrative on it?
I suppose like exactly that. There is so much overwhelming advice online and a lot of it isn't true. Like there is research done, I think, by DCU quite recently that, like I said, 67,000 videos on TikTok and only 2% of them related to nutrition advice were accurate. So I think it's, you know, really important as registered dietitians and nutritionists to kind of be giving that evidence-based advice and kind of having a place for people that they can go to for that kind of reassurance, you know, that actually the dietary and lifestyle education that we'd be providing is accurate and something that they can rely on, rather than seeing, you know, influencers talking about doing this and doing that without any kind of actual evidence behind what they're suggesting.
I think something that has been changed in the narrative in recent years, in my own opinion, is calorie counting. I feel like back in the day, that used to be something that everybody talked about. But I know you yourself, you're known now for avoiding that approach. Can you explain why that is important?
Yeah, and I think definitely it is seeming to be reducing a lot at the moment. And I suppose I don't talk about calorie counting or anything like that online or really with my patients or clients, because I suppose, you know, people have tried that before. And I think also there's so much more to nutrition than just the calorie content of foods alone. And I suppose in the short term, calorie counting might be helpful for building that awareness on the energy value of food and kind of education on portion sizes, but it should only ever be used in the short term to kind of help build that awareness and knowledge. And I suppose longer term, what can happen is we can kind of tend to brand foods based on their calorie content. So people might associate higher calorie foods with being less good and lower calorie foods with being the better option, when that is very, you know, not always the case. And I suppose it disregards then the actual nutritional components of the food when we're thinking about key nutrients that we're wanting to include, like our fiber and our protein and our micronutrients. And also, again, kind of when we're thinking about protecting our relationship with food long term, we don't want to be associating the only thing we're looking at when it comes to nutrition is that calorie content. And a lot of those energy dense or higher calorie foods like nuts and seeds or oily fish and avocados are actually really nutrient dense foods. And I suppose we want to be focusing on health promoting foods and not just what's the lowest calorie option. But I do think, as you said, that people are kind of starting to move away from that slowly, and I hope it's something that continues to happen.
One thing that I'm definitely not the only one that's seen, I think this is across everybody's social medias, is a food trend, or, you know, but eating perfectly, just like you see different influencers or other people doing online. And I know young people probably in particular feel a lot of pressure to be in line with that food trend since it's being shoved in our faces so much. What would your advice be for cutting through that noise?
Yeah, and I suppose like food trends, I think I'm very lucky on the side of the internet I'm on that it is quite a lot of like registered healthcare professionals, so I'm maybe not seeing as much of it. But I suppose like kind of influencers doing what I eat in a day or just general kind of videos around that, I suppose they are kind of becoming more and more prevalent. And sometimes it can be nice to kind of get a bit of inspiration from what other people are eating and, you know, thinking, okay, I might like to try that. That's something a bit different than what I normally have, and adding a bit of variety into your diet. But I suppose what can lead to be unhelpful then is when these kind of what I eat in a day videos are these trendy things on this is a superfood or you should eat this and you shouldn't eat that. When these kind of videos start with a body checking image or, you know, someone wearing kind of smaller fitting clothing and kind of does without saying, insinuate if you eat like this, you'll look like this, and it completely disregards our own genetic makeup and our biology and how we metabolize foods differently. And I suppose, again, it can go back to that attaching, you know, this person eats that way, so this must be a good way of eating, or, you know, vice versa. And I suppose it is important that we know that you know, we all have different nutritional requirements, and it's finding out what way of eating works for us long term and trying to stop following all of these random trends because they're constantly changing. And we know that actually the evidence hasn't changed drastically in recent years, and that kind of regular eating with balanced meals, including all of the macronutrients, is what's important. Because it's not exciting, people aren't really as keen to get involved with it, but it is what actually matters and helps and support our health long term.
You mentioned balanced kind of diets there, and I know as well you've talked a lot about, you know, ensuring that you get a wide variety of foods into your diet. What does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis for somebody?
Yeah, and I suppose, like, again, it's hard to say because everyone is so different with their kind of taste preferences and our budget and what our kind of schedule is looking like. But I suppose the first thing that I would always be ensuring when I'm working with clients is firstly regularity of your meals. So at a minimum, kind of aiming for that breakfast, lunch and dinner style eating pattern with snacks kind of in between as your appetite dictates for that. It would definitely be also including all of the macronutrients, so our proteins, fats and carbohydrates spread throughout the day, and then based on an individual's kind of needs, adjusting portion sizes in relation to that. I think something that also kind of missed out when we're looking at balanced eating is there's always these kind of trendy foods, but we forget about actually the benefits of fruit and vegetables. And when we're thinking about the recommendation is a minimum of 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day, thinking that 80 grams is 1 portion, most people are, you know, far eating less than that. And I suppose that can be something as well that can really help support with that balanced eating, ensuring that we're getting that variety of nutrients in and also meeting our 30 grams of fibre across the day. And I suppose going back to the trendy thing that just kind of came into my head, where I know a lot of people are talking about kind of anti-inflammatory diets and, you know, antioxidants and all of these things that sound, you know, really fancy and trendy, but where we get those kind of foods is our fruit and veg, our whole grains, our lentils, legumes, you know, foods that we can quite easily include but maybe don't. And it just takes a bit more planning and just putting that actual plan in place to implement that.
We all know somebody, if we're not ourselves, who claim to be fussy eaters. How do you deal with making sure you're getting the right nutrients and a wide variety in your diet if you genuinely are someone who is a fussy eater?
Yeah, and I'm always like so cautious, I suppose, to use the term like fussy eating, because obviously, you know, there's, oh, I always need to think of the reason behind that. You know, maybe it's how you've grown up with kind of a limited palate, and that's just kind of what you've gotten used to, and trying to change that can be hard. Or maybe there's the sensory side of it where, you know, different tastes and textures can maybe be a bit overwhelming. But like with anything with nutrition, I would say start small and kind of focusing on what you're managing just now at the moment. You know, what foods are kind of acceptable for you, and then slowly trying to build on that. So, you know, white bread, most people can kind of accept that, you know, slowly maybe gradually building up to the 50-50, and then more of a whole grain, and then maybe a seeded option, and kind of trying to spread that out to all of your different kind of carbohydrates in terms of like rice and pastas, and maybe keeping the skin on the potatoes. And as I said, gradually exposing yourself to that. It might also be seeing at the moment what kind of fruit and vegetables that you do manage, and again, gradually each week maybe adding something extra to your food shop. And it might not be that the first time you're not very keen on it, but we know that it can be that re-exposure, and that we need up to 20 times to actually accept a new food. It's knowing that actually there's different ways of cooking vegetables or fruit that we can have. So, you know, there's fresh and frozen options. We can have the vegetables raw, cooked, you know, to different extents to help the texture and kind of figure out what is going to be more acceptable for you as well. And I suppose if you are finding it hard, it is kind of thinking that, you know, maybe supplementation is going to be needed if your diet is quite limited, and you know, actually getting support and deciding that. Or, you know, also fortified foods, so you can get kind of fortified cereals and fortified plant-based milks, or just general fortified dairy milks as well, and breads. So maybe utilising that as well if your diet is quite limited, and that could be kind of a bridging gap there for you as well.
For younger people and students possibly who are on a budget, what in your eyes would be a simple way to eat well without spending a fortune for those people?
I suppose everyone's going to be like, I don't want to hear this advice, but it would be meal planning and kind of preparing in advance. I think a lot of people maybe have previously associated meal planning or prepping with, you know, weight loss, when actually it can be really helpful for busy individuals, whether you're in college or are working, because it takes out that kind of decision fatigue. I suppose after a long day at work or a long day at college or whatever, you're up to trying to add another decision then to make on what am I going to eat today or what food do I have in. Do you know, it's quite draining, and sometimes the idea of that is just a bit overwhelming to make that extra decision. So taking that extra bit of time at the beginning of the week can be really helpful. Also, we know, do you know, when you're planning out your meals and doing your food shop in accordance with that, you're going to buy what you need rather than just buying all of these random ingredients and trying to figure out how to put them together. And when you do put that bit of planning in place as well, you are more likely to kind of create balanced meals because there is a bit more thought going into it. And I suppose, again, you're reducing the likelihood that you're going to be relying on kind of ready meals or takeaways when you're kind of coming home after that long day with nothing to have. And again, that's reducing that cost quite significantly. Another thing, I suppose, what kind of comes into the meal prepping and planning would be, I would always, you know, cook once to eat at least twice, if not more. And I suppose, let's say you're making a curry or a bolognese, you can always add in like lentils or chickpeas or mixed types of beans to boost the fiber and also plant-based protein, which is going to be more cost effective. And then if you're trying to still vary the types of fibres and foods you're having within your diet, you know, it's thinking about what different carbohydrate sources you can serve them with. So it might be, you know, rice with your curry one of the days, or another day you're going to have it with a naan or a type of pasta, and varying it up that way as well. And that bit of planning just helps support your overall week, takes away that decision making, and also makes the most of sense kind of cost or value wise as well.
Yeah, because a lot of the foods you've mentioned there can be quite like they can be affordable for sure. You know, the likes of the chickpeas and the kidney beans and things like that, to add that bit of fiber in for sure. If you could give one piece of advice to somebody listening this evening who wants to feel healthier without obsessing over food, what would it be? Because I know that generally these types of conversations, and because of what we've seen online, it seems to always come back to food. But I know there's people out there that want to feel healthier without having to obsess over what they're eating.
Yeah, and it is so hard. And I'm like, I wish there was like something that I could do like straight away that would be helpful. But I would say the first thing is give yourself a bit of grace and a bit of time. It would be kind of seeing where your diet is at currently and kind of assessing, you know, am I happy with how this is, and slowly trying to navigate where you could make changes, focusing on one thing at a time and gradually building on that. And I suppose it's also emphasizing that black and white thinking styles in relation to food or associating some food as good and bad is just not helpful in the long term. And we do know that all foods can fit into a healthy, well-balanced diet, and you should be able to enjoy foods in moderation without that guilt, because again, you know, that can lead to those unhelpful thinking styles as well. So slow and steady, one step at a time, and that all foods can fit in as well.
I feel like that's very simple and straightforward advice that someone can actually apply as well. You've really broken it down well there. But what is next for you personally? Have you any new projects or goals that you have for your new TikTok community that you've now founded?
Yeah, that is like the most random kind of thing that's ever happened to me, with my like little videos of me making meals. To be honest, I'm just kind of going with the flow with the whole TikTok thing. I just really enjoy it, and I'm kind of just doing it when I feel like it, or when I'm like making something that I'm like, oh, I could, you know, give some advice, or this is kind of relevant that people might find helpful. Also, I suppose I'm really trying to, at the moment, you know, I'm working within the NHS and privately, trying to just upskill as much as possible and learn as much about the area of dietetics and how to support people making lasting changes, really, because I think it's quite easy to make changes in the short term, but it's actually maintaining them that is the kind of issue for most people. So really finding ways to be supportive in that as well.
Well, Aisling, I wish you the best of luck with everything, and I hope you continue to enjoy all of the amazing things that are coming with your new TikTok community around nutrition. And I am sure that we'll catch up with you again soon on iRadio's group chat.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking.